Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with an issue today that I believe is pivotal for the society in which we are living in, the era that we find ourselves in today as a nation. We're asking the question, should believers trust in government? Now, I could broaden that. Should citizens in America trust our government? I'm talking about the FBI, the DOJ, the IRS, the CDC, the NIH. Can we trust anything that they say? Can we trust anything that they want to institute or to carry out? Joe Biden single-handedly, with about 90 executive orders, has been successful in wrecking the Constitutional Republic of America today. The socialist Marxist media falling into line with the Biden administration, big tech and social media have joined hands to support the federal government, the Biden administration, in lying to us. We've been lied to, ladies and gentlemen, about COVID and the COVID protocol. We've been lied to about the lockdowns. We were lied to about social distancing. We were lied to about the mask wearing. But most serious of all, we were lied to by the federal government and Big Pharma about how the COVID-19 injections and the efficacy. In fact, you'll recall when they first rolled them out, the different pharmaceuticals were trying to play one-upmanship. One was supposed to be 88.7% with efficacy. Other was 97% efficacy. Another one even said, no, we're 99.7% efficacy. That means the ability to stop the spread of COVID, or to prevent COVID from hurting or harming, or to prevent you from getting COVID. We found all of that to be a lie. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the lie of all lies been exposed when we find that a COVID executive, a Pfizer executive, conceded that COVID-19 vaccination was never tested on preventing the transmission before it was released. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Hey, doctor. How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I got 2 comments here. One, I was a young man when Ronald Reagan said the 8 most terrible words you ever want to hear. I'm from the government. I'm here to help. And 2, I wanted to comment on something that Tom mentioned there. One of the things that I got from reading the Bible there is it's God's user manual for humans. Mm-hmm. You know, he's given us our nature in there. He's explained how we are, and he's shown us the path that we need to take. And one of the things that I come away with is you could take a man from today, or person, let's be correct here, you could take any person from today and throw them back whenever Jesus was walking the earth, and we would have a very difficult time getting along. Because you could take that same person, a man, just take Paul, for example, and you threw him here today with us in this century. That man has an agrarian background. He'd be able to survive. This man walked everywhere he went. They didn't have cars, trains, you know. When was the last time any of us as individuals has walked through a grain field and picked off the top of a wheat and rubbed our hands to de-hull it and then ate it straight? These individuals would survive in our world, whereas we would probably perish in theirs. So anybody that says that that man, we're more intelligent, we're the same creature. We're the same creature that God created when he made Adam and Eve. The same creature. Down there, there's no difference. We're all fallible. We're all, you know, we're all sinful. Everyone.
Yes. Jim, let me interject a thought. The Bible is God's manual for life and living. He created us, and it's the manufacturer's guidebook for how to treat that which he's created. And by the way, in God's manufacturer's guidebook, which is the manual for our living, it gives the manufacturer the right of recall. We're going to die one day. God has the right of recall. He's going to recall us at some point in time. And the key to it is, on that recall, how do you stand in that day of examination called the judgment? And there are multitudes today that's listening do not realize that there's a built-in, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There's a built-in recall date for every human being that's been created. And yet man, on the face of this earth today, live as though there's never a recall date, never an expiration date. Live as though somehow, some way, we can depend on government and not God. And that's simply a fallacy. And you touched on it, as did Tom just a moment ago. We need to place our faith and trust in God and not in government, especially when it comes to our education, our health care, and what we do in relationship to societal involvement and how we do in relationship to our voting. We need to be very, very careful, Jim, and I pray that those listening will understand the serious, the vast seriousness of this election cycle. If we as Christians do not vote, we're going to watch, we'll be witnesses in this era, this generation, witnesses of the destruction, the demise of a constitutional republic that God gave us. In 2020, according to David Barton Wall Builders Ministry, 40 million plus Christians did not vote. Matt Staver is projecting that 25 million will not vote this election cycle. And I'm pleading with every listener. Yesterday, by the way, was the deadline to register to vote for this election. I'm pleading with every listener to vote. I don't care if it's rain, sleet, or snow. We need to go in and vote. And we need to vote based on God's biblical guideline for the political system, found in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. Need to be able men, men that fear God, men that are not covetous, those that have the capability of carrying out the task, that love the Lord and reverence God. Jim, you're exactly right. We need to keep on looking up in the realization, the recognition that somehow, some way, we've gotten off track, and we need to get our focus back on God.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Thank you so much for your call today and for your input. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. I'm thankful to see the DeSantis administration, our governor, Ron DeSantis, and some of the stands he's taken. The Surgeon General of the state of Florida just issued new guidelines for the COVID-19 vaccination. Listen to this carefully. Dateline Tallahassee, Florida. Today, and this was done on the 7th of October, today, State Surgeon General has announced new guidelines regarding the mRNA vaccine. The Florida Department of Health conducted an analysis through a self-controlled case series, which is a technique originally developed to evaluate vaccine safety. This analysis found that there is listen to this, it's staggering. This analysis found that there's an 84% increase in the relative incidence of cardiac-related deaths among males 18 to 39 years of age within 28 days of taking the vaccination. With a high level of global immunity, to COVID-19, the benefit of vaccination is likely outweighed by this abnormally high risk of cardiac-related deaths among men in this age group. State Surgeon General recommended this. State of Florida, the Surgeon General recommended against men aged 18 to 39 years of age receiving the COVID-19 vaccination. These are important findings that should be communicated to all Floridians, this article says. So let me capitalize it. The Surgeon General in the state of Florida has announced against, the announcement is that men 18 to 39 years of age should not, N-O-T, should not take the vaccination because it causes 84% chances within 28 days of cardiac arrest. That is death for 18 to 39-year-old men if they take the COVID-19 vaccination. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any other state that's issued such a dire, absolute warning as we find coming out of the state of Florida. We have been lied to and deceived, just as with the Durham probe of the FBI, finding now that the FBI offered Christopher Steele $1 million to lie. $1 million to say that his dossier was real. It was the whole fabricated dossier against President Trump, candidate Trump in 2016, and then President Trump, where President Trump was dogged by the supposed connection that Trump had with Russia. He was a Russian puppet, supposedly. And for 4 years, the Robert Mueller investigation hit a dead end, but we spent $44 million. And now with the investigation been going on with John Durham for the past almost four years, it's just now coming out with dribbles of what the realities have been. Now I'm thankful for what we're finding, but my question is, why has it taken so long? So it's things like that, ladies and gentlemen, we've been lied to, and I want you to have a little advance notice. We're going there in just a moment about the depth of what has taken place with that and how additional things are happening today that we're being lied to about them. We're being lied to about marijuana, the marijuana use, and how it is something that is a kind of a nonchalant thing. And it's because states and federal governments, the federal government and states across America, want to get the taxes from it. Look at the state of Colorado, look at the state of California, look at the state of Washington State, look at the condition of Oregon, look at what is taking place in every state that's instituted the recreational marijuana and our medical marijuana, and you watch the skyrocketing of morals and skyrocketing of those things that are taking place with drug use, with the divorces, the foreclosures, and with deaths. And teen deaths as a result of getting into the marijuana, and marijuana is an open door to every other drug. Contrary to what you might think or say, it is the open door, it's the gateway to all other drugs. We've been lied to. And ladies and gentlemen, the main thing that I'm looking at today that is so frightening, concerning, and should cause consternation among every listener today is how we've been lied to about the COVID vaccination. And with the president and Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci, the supposed geniuses about COVID, how they've lied to us because of financial interest, and what has taken place with the uninformed consent of vaccinating people and are giving them remdesivir that kills them. Looking at a major article in my hand, dated September the 11th, it's been out for about a month and 2 weeks, month and 10 days, uninformed consent, : three California hospitals face lawsuits for use of remdesivir protocol. Attorneys allege that led to the wrongful death of the family members of their clients. Three hospitals in California face lawsuits alleging that they treated patients with the controversial antiviral drug remdesivir without receiving informed consent, using a protocol which two attorneys allege led to the wrongful deaths. Daniel Watkins with Watkins and Litovsky and Michael Hamilton of Hamilton and Associates filed three complaints, that is called complaints, lawsuits, one against St. Agnes Medical Center, Community Regional Medical Center, and Clovis Community Medical Center in the Superior Court of California in Fresno, California, on September the 7th. Watkins and Hamilton discussed the lawsuits the day after the filing, called the event called Remdesivir Death. Remdesivir Death. Landmark lawsuit, where they were joined by the medical advocates such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Brian Artis, Dr. Agnes Farrell, and Dr. Janice Lindsay, all of whom have spoken out against the issue of using remdesivir. Watkins, that's the attorney, said he filed a lawsuit on behalf of 14 Fresno area families who alleged the hospital engaged in medical deception and failed to provide informed consent in relating to potential side effects such as kidney failure. Full informed consent means that a patient, listen, ladies and gentlemen, full informed consent means that the patient must be provided with full information about the deadly harm that this dangerous experimental drug causes on its own, the lawsuit states. Listen, full consent means they must be told that the only time remdesivir was ever tested, it was pulled off the market because it killed so many people, end quote. Have you been told that? Have you been in the hospital? Did they give you remdesivir? Have you had a loved one, a brother, sister, son, or daughter that's died, mother or father that died? Look at the medical record and find. Our son was tortured to death in a hospital in Virginia. The second day he went in the hospital, he was administered remdesivir. Remdesivir, ladies and gentlemen, causes the shutting down of the kidneys, the liver, the lungs, and the heart. Most go into the hospital not even having COVID, but then tested with the test, the PCR test that shows a false positive. Then they put them on all of these drugs, remdesivir and others, a ventilator. The average patient that goes in the hospital in America under the guise of COVID is about $1 million-plus patient for the hospital, the medical association, and the doctors. This article goes further and says, the lawsuit references a study found in the New England Medical Journal, which a safety board found it to be at least the least effective and the deadliest drug in the trial before it was suspended after 53% of the patients who took the drug died. The National Institute of Health, called NIH, had said that it's the only drug approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to treat COVID. Remdesivir received emergency use authorization in or around May of 2020 after being recommended, by an NIH panel. That panel contained 9 individuals with financial ties to the creator of remdesivir, which was Gilead Science. It is very nearly the equivalent of a death sentence for any patient to be administered the drug, end quote. Without receiving informed consent before giving remdesivir, the hospitals violated the Nuremberg Code, the lawsuit states, which criminalizes human experimentation performed without informed consent. In some cases, according to the witness testimony, Watkins, that's the attorney, said in the conference that remdesivir was given even after the patients had said no. Subtitle, the remdesivir protocol. The lawsuit alleges that the patients were subjected to what it called the remdesivir protocol. A patient comes to the hospital often from a problem unrelated to COVID, according to the lawsuit. They're told that they have COVID or COVID pneumonia they have used. From there, they're separated from their loved ones and placed in a room where they're told remdesivir is the only option. They're placed on a BiPAP machine at a high rate of making it difficult for them to breathe at all, the lawsuit said. The hands are often tied down so that they can't take the BiPAP machine off their faces. In many cases, the lawsuit said, a psychiatrist will determine that the patient is agitated, which results in the sedation of the patient, making it difficult for them to fight the side effects of remdesivir, especially as it relates to their ability to breathe against the side effects. Their phone calls and the signaling instruments in the hospital room, they're left, the nurses are typically placed them beyond the reach of the patient. The patients are also kept malnourished and eventually intubated, the lawsuit says. It takes a protocol patient, about 9 days, that's talking about CDC protocol, about 9 days to die on the average. The lawsuit goes on to address federal financial incentives for the hospital to get each step in the protocol. If the hospital, the doctors, the medical association follows the CDC protocol, which is remdesivir, the death kneel, if you will, if they follow that, they get mega incentives financially, and it can range from $1 million to $1.5 million in total for each patient. I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, sir. Remdesivir, I believe it's called, doctor.
Yes.
There's a great, great, great documentary that's been done, and they found out what's on it.
You're cutting out, Kevin. We can't hear you.
Search the documentary. Watch. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, now. Go ahead.
Hello? Yes.
Yes,
please
go
watch
ahead.
The documentary, Watch the Water. The documentary, Watch the Water, they put snake venom in remdesivir. Snake venom. Cobra, snake venom. And the doctor linked it all together. This other doctor got killed off for what he was doing in the research of this. It's called documentary Watch the Water. It exposes it completely. They put snake venom in there to kill the people off. Snake venom. Watch
well,
the Water
the major,
documentary.
Yes, one of the major things, Kevin, that I'm finding, and by the way, I have read that article, and there's a little problem with the nexus there on it. Now, however, I understand what you're saying, and there's been some major push on that front. Notwithstanding that, remdesivir in and of itself, even if it did not have the, quote, snake venom in it, is deadly. There's not a patient, and I shouldn't say that, overwhelming majority of the patients, if they've been given remdesivir, it is the death warrant, according to the legal advisors and the medical science that's investigated that. And the thing, Kevin, that I am so grateful to God for is that finally there's an awakening across America, and we're finding attorneys, just as Jeff Childers in Gainesville, Florida, we're finding attorneys, that's attorney Jeff Childers in Gainesville, Florida, we're finding attorneys across America that's willing to take on cases representing family members that have lost loved ones because of the death jab, first of all, and secondly, because of the death protocol called the CDC protocol that's required every hospital, every doctor, if they receive any federal funds as for medical care, any federal funds, Medicaid or Medicare, if they receive those federal funds, they're required by federal law to use the CDC protocol, which is the death warrant for the patient. So, Kevin, you're exactly right.
Dr. Youngblood, I got one more thing I wanted to add, Dr. Youngblood, is that I'm sending a warning out to all your people that I know you don't believe in the Bible codes, but in the Bible codes it says one trumps, it says missiles, Kiev, Putin. Once Trump takes Kiev, it's game on. The Bible code, the main access term, says global war. So I'm warning your people, get ready, get ready. I've seen many dreams and visions of a storm coming, and that we don't have to be afraid because Yeshua is on the storm. He's going to give us the victory, but tell your people to be prepared and ready because it's coming. Global war is coming. It's in the codes, unless God does a miracle, but everything is pointing towards the coming. The visions and dreams that I've seen, it's coming. So get ready, prepare, patriots, Kodashim, saints of God. And that's all I have to say, brother.
Yes, Kevin, thank you so much. Though you and I differ on the Bible code, I will agree on this. We are watching the start. Right now, we're watching the start and the progression of World War III. And the World War III will be a global event. It will lead into the Battle of Armageddon, which will be the wrap-up of this old world. We're watching as we, American taxpayer dollars, fund the war in Ukraine on the basis that it's humanitarian. And we're saying that on the basis that we've got to help protect the borders of Ukraine, and we're not even protecting our own borders. It is an absolute lie, again, part of the lie that's being disseminated through Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, and the whole socialist, Marxist, communist regime that controls the federal government today. We need to recognize, in fact, I've said for time and time again, we need to cease sending one dime to Ukraine. Now, I am in deep sympathy for the Ukrainian people, but at the same time, we're dealing with an issue that does not have any American interest there in Ukraine. Now, some may disagree, men, that's fine. But we have sent about $167 billion to Ukraine. No trace, no tracking, not knowing where it is. And it's a financial wash basin for dollars for the Biden cabal, for the Joe Biden and for Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, and the whole Biden family. That's where money has been going for years and years and years, and then siphoned back through the wash basin called Ukraine. That's the only interest that this administration has in it. Joe Biden is controlled by that. Joe Biden's controlled by China. Joe Biden's controlled by the fact that he's trying to cover the track, the trail for the Biden family cabal and the stealing of funds for so many years. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, should believers trust the government? And the answer to that is emphatically no. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter and others said, we must obey God rather than man. We must, if you put in the Youngblood vernacular, we must obey God and not government. We must recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what is taking place in America and stand up. Here's another article about the suits that are being filed today against hospitals and doctors. Three Valley hospitals sued over alleged forced COVID medications. It in what is called the first of its kind lawsuits. And by the way, again, I'm thankful for that. The first of its kind lawsuits, three hospitals are being sued allegedly for prescribing COVID medication that was supposed to heal. Instead, three legal complaints say the medication killed 14 Fresno, California patients, all of them over 65. Quote, we have filed the lawsuits against three hospitals who have murdered, that's their term, murdered people using the remdesivir protocol. The complaints against, and it lists the hospital's names, as the community discussed it more and learned more about remdesivir and its problems, the number of people that died from it grew. Just within Fresno, that group grew and grew and grew, and it goes on to talk about the battle that's being carried out as a result of that. In fact, here's an article that says, Japanese researchers published cases of strange blood clots following the Pfizer COVID vaccines. In fact, across America and around the world, ladies and gentlemen, they've discovered major blood clots in the veins and the bodies of those that the funeral home embalmers have discovered as a result of the COVID vaccination. Even insurance companies are waking up, ladies and gentlemen, about COVID and the vaccination. Insurance company filed a triple vax more likely. Insurance company find that triple vaxed more likely to get COVID than the unvaxed at all. And it goes on to talk about how the more vaccinations you get, the more chance you have of getting COVID and dying from it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the deception that's taking place. We the people, now if we're conservative, we're Christians, we're called the domestic terrorists. If you challenge your school board, you're a domestic terrorist. If you believe the 2020 election was fraud, you're a domestic terrorist. If you question COVID vaccination, you're a domestic terrorist. We're facing, ladies and gentlemen, as never before in the history of America, where the federal government is weaponizing itself against we the people. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. We need to cast our votes to change the trajectory of where America is going, and we've got about 26 days to do that in. Thank you for joining us today on this broadcast. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.